What up, what up?
What up, though?
Hey, yo.
Welcome to our world.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, man, what a week it's been. First, the Mueller report finally came out, and Trump is exonerated from all that Russian collusion bullshit.
Yes!
Egg on that media's face. Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez and her Green New Deal failed miserably in a Senate vote early this week. Wow, bro. No one voted for it. Jussie Smollett gets a big break, but we'll see for how long. And the city of Seattle is dying. Find out how on this episode of The Salty Show. All right, Ray.
All righty.
What's going on there in the crazy news?
Alrighty, let's take it away into the crazy Ray Chronicles. So first, I'm going to start off with one that's super freaking obscure. It's the one that I showed you. So there's a video. Yep. It is this couple that live in a Michigan town, and they have like a nanny cam set up, and it's one that like supposedly you're not supposed to be able to edit it. Who knows? But they catch a ghost on it, like a legitimate ghost. And all you see is like somebody walking by, and you can see the girl like respond to it, like the baby, where it's like, no. Oh, I can see like what's going on right now.
So the baby sees the ghost.
Yes.
Wow. You want me to play this?
But it almost looks like overly. Yeah, play it. It's crazy.
What is it? Is it real? And what is it doing there? A family in Highland, Michigan.
Oh, I see it.
House? Is actually haunted and thinks something is harming their little right? girl.
And it scratched her.
Went to the home to see for himself. It's almost like she sees something that we don't.
It's an image Heather and Josh say is haunting their home.
It was chilling.
What the fuck?
Right?
No way.
Like that what if factor. Like, is this what I just saw?
Caught on the couple's nanny cam video a few weeks ago, what appears to be something moving in front of the baby crib.
The baby crib.
Yeah. Yeah. So it like scratched the baby.
What? And they saw scratch marks?
Yes.
Dude. Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
And also, a guy killed himself in the house before they moved in.
No.
Like the previous owner,
yes.
Or like 20 years
jumped
ago?
Jumped out of the second window head first to kill himself.
Well, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I don't know. Is there such a thing
this
as
a
supernatural? Oh, man.
Well, it's not the first case of somebody saying there is, so there's got to be some truth to some of this someplace, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to even break down like the word paranormal, it's just around normal, so it's just something that we don't comprehend. I'm not saying it's like a ghost or like people that have died are there, but I think it's just something that...
Tim, you believe in that?
Okay.
What do you believe?
What do I believe?
Do you believe that? Like, because you can clearly see something moving there.
You could see it? Do I believe in it? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the reason why I digress,
no,
but
say it.
So growing up when I was like 18, 19, we used to hang out at Dowling College, right? Out on Long Island with my brother and all his friends, right? And the dorms were built on like
ancient Indian burial.
No. It was like a cemetery, right?
No way.
Yeah, some bullshit, right? So anyway, and everybody kept saying, dude, these dorms are haunted, all this stuff, right? BS. Yo, one night, no joke, we're all sitting there, right? Chilling, drinking, hanging out. No, we're all in the living room. So everybody is in the same area. Mm-hmm. And they always used to talk about like doors opening or doors slamming, all this stuff. And we're sitting there and drinking, watching TV. And all of a sudden the bathroom door, literally, and it's thick, right? And there's nobody in the room. And all of a sudden we're watching it. That thing just literally slammed so fast, so hard. And everybody just jumped up like, what the hell was that? We all went in the bathroom. There was not a single person in there. It was winter time, so there was no fans, no air. There was none of that. Would have pushed this door? We all watched this happen. And then another time, we watched the front door in one of the other dorms just open up randomly. It was like
on its own.
Dude, done.
What about you?
What about you, Jeremy?
I have never seen anything personally, so I don't.
Nothing believe. That gives you like goosebumps and
well,
it's like, what the hell?
You see videos online and all that stuff.
But nothing happens to you?
Nothing that ever happened to me. And I hear stories all the time. And there's been times where you'll be at work late at night or something, and the lights will be down, and you'll see something in the corner, and you're like, oh my God, that, what is that person doing over there? And you walk over there, and there's nobody there.
Oh, hell
and
no.
It's just the way, you know, it's just, and you look at it, and you're like, oh, it's just the way the light was reflecting off of the board,
like
or whatever.
Like a car driving by.
Yeah, and so it's
just a demon
so
trying to say
stuff.
Hi to me.
It's just
a demon.
Not today, say
just a demon trying to help me with my work.
Exactly. Right. But, you know, I think a lot of that stuff can be explained all right. by.
So I do have one that, like, even to this day, like, weirds me out. I don't know if I told you this one, Tim, but this is so when I went to Israel, this is back in, oh my God, 2000, homie. Do you guys remember that Sony? It was the first digital had the display in the back.
The camcorder?
It was a camera. No, it was a photo camera. Mm-hmm. It was called like Mavica or something. It had the 3.5 disc. You know what I mean? Like those hard discs.
Yeah.
So you'd put a disc in and you get maybe like 10 pictures at the most. And but the resolution is like the worst ever. Anyway, so I'm, you know, I'm obviously in the city in Old Jerusalem, and I'm taking pictures and I'm going around, whatever. And so we're in this like in the stairwell, you know, staircase, and, you know, it's walls all around. You know, and it's just a long, and we're just going down, and I turn around and I want to get a picture because it looks pretty cool, you know, like the old stone walls and all that. So I turn around and take a picture. So I look at, I'm looking at the screen, and I'm like, oh, this is an awesome picture. Click. And then, you know, a couple seconds later, I turn around and I'm like, okay, well, let me see how that picture came out. And in the picture, there's like this little kid, dude, this little kid dressed all in like his Jewish clothing. Right. And then I turn around and I look back and see if he's still there. There's nobody there. But the thing is Jeremy, there's no wall, there's no door, there's what? Nothing. He's literally walking across.
It's a like, perfect picture of this kid, not like a
no,
shady,
like a perfect picture.
Blurry. It's
dude,
perfect.
See, I'm already getting freaking goosebumps because right. no. So then I tell my friend because I'm there with buddies and I'm like, bro, what the hell, you know? And I show him and he's like, no, come on, let's go up. There's a wall. There's a door there.
Right.
We go up, dude. We keep going. There's no doors. There's no, nothing, not a passageway, nothing. And I was like, what the hell? And I kept this picture for years and I uploaded it to this website. Eventually the website went out of business. I lost that picture. So I can't even show you guys.
He's lying.
No. It's a true story. I swear to God.
I don't think you lie.
Why would I make that up?
Sassy. So you're doing a class action lawsuit against Sony for making a crappy camera.
No, that, to me,
it throws little Jewish boys in your pictures.
So then
maybe that's what happened with Michael Jackson. Who knows?
Whoa.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, wow. Way off field. That's like last week's topic, man. Why are you like this?
Oh, my God.
Dredging up the past, I guess that's what I do.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
What else you got?
So, yeah. On to the next one. Ooh, we have.
Is that part of the news?
Ooh. Yeah, that's exactly it. So this one is a naked man has reportedly been arrested in Moscow after trying to board a plane while shouting about how clothes made him less agile and aerodynamic.
I agree with that.
He's not lying.
He's not really lying.
He shouted he was naked because clothing impairs the aerodynamics of the body. He flies with more agility when undressed. Refused to get
He's
off
not wrong.
The plane.
Was he well hung?
I don't know. Okay. It was blurred. Wow. I'm going to assume.
Is there any picture here?
So there's a video.
Is it a big blur or a small blur?
Is it really a video?
For the most part, his tummy kind of covers a lot of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He could be like startled. There's a lot of men on top of him at the time. So maybe he's like, this is like scary. I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff that's keeping him from being aerodynamic besides his clothes. If he's.
He's you a are tripod. Very right.
Dude, come on now.
He's a tripod.
But I must say, it did look like he was pretty well shaven. Like, he didn't have a lot of body hair on him. So maybe
that'll
he was
it,
actually,
you're
like, flaming.
You're going to glide.
That'll do, like, pig. Swimmers. That'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then I was, like, looking at the comments on it, and there was somebody that... there was somebody who was like, well, if he's that aerodynamic, then why don't you just put him on like the, what is it? Like the plane,
the wing.
Just put him on the wing. It'll be okay. It'll help.
Jesus. He'll create that lift.
Exactly. He'll bring everything up.
He'll be the flap.
Well, we have a pilot here. Jeremy, what do you think about that?
I think if you put him on the wing, he's definitely going to interrupt the lamellar flow of air.
Have you ever tried this theory?
What's that?
Flying naked?
Oh no, flying naked? Well, I'm not going to say no, but I'm not going to say yes.
I want to let it be known that it wasn't with me.
It wasn't with me.
I wasn't
either,
in that flight.
I was not on this flight.
We'll call that his virgin flight.
All right.
Not my riches. All right.
So my moneymaker for this episode is I have an engineer suing his ex-boss for, I would guess, probably about like $800,000 roughly. It's in gross. Why? But why? For repeatedly farting on him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wait, what?
So
wait, explain.
This is very interesting. So he claims that the alleged abuse, some of which he says was physical, resulted in depression, anxiety, and injuries. He's from Australia. And he says the abuse occurred at an engineering firm from 2008 to 2009. The Supreme Court dismissed the accusation of bullying last year. But Mr. Meeks is appealing the decision.
Oh, my God.
So wait a minute. No, okay, so. Hold on. So you mean to tell me this guy's boss would just go up to him randomly and just fart?
So it says, I would be sitting with my face towards the wall and he would come into the room, which was small and had no windows. He would fart behind me and walk away.
That's hysterical.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Was he getting any promotions, though?
That's hysterical.
Was his office in the bathroom?
A
small room with no windows.
He's just sitting there like he knows it's going to happen. So he just like turns his face towards the wall.
Oh, my God.
No, I think that's funny because my old boss, no, back in New York, right? We worked in a small little... Computer shop, right? And we're in the back fixing everything. I mean, my boss had no problems. He'd come in. And, I mean, and these were...
No, but wait, hold on. Because sometimes, you know, guys joke around like that with each other. Maybe he was joking around like this with him, and he was just, like, being trauma about it.
Do they list... like a five times a day, 8 days a week kind of a thing, or...
It's only seven days in a week.
Oh, man, the story was longer yesterday.
It was longer yesterday?
Yeah, that's what Rachel said. No, they
said... Oh, my God.
You're
nasty.
So he said he would do it five or six times a day. And his old supervisor made several threatening phone calls to him as well. The court appeal heard the claim and called Mr. Short Mr. Stinky and sprayed deodorant at him. He's actually seeking $1.8 million roughly.
Wow, come on. Okay, yeah.
For flatulence, that's out of control. That's BS.
Right? Jesus,
no. It's better out than in.
It's a little excessive.
Is that the pound symbol?
No, you just
970,000 pounds.
I think it's pounds, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So is US dollars worth more now?
No. No, the pound is always worth more than the dollar.
I don't know about
it
that.
It is. No, I'm telling you it is.
I always thought it was too.
It is.
I don't know.
I don't know what the exchange rate is.
I know, it's confusing. The world. But yeah, so I always wonder, like, what is the physical damage that's caused?
I think it's emotional stress.
Like, was it so bad that it, like, fried this guy's eyebrows off?
No. People can sue for anything, right? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Sometimes when people fart, yeah, it's funny because I do it all the time to Nelson. He gets in my car, I lock the windows, and I rip ass, right? Man. We're on the road trip and everything. But here's the deal.
This is why I can't go on a road trip.
No. When they are disgustingly stinky to where it smells like baby shit, like that's offensive. Baby I would sue for that.
Dude, you know when we went to Puerto Peñasco, Rocky Point?
Yeah.
So he's laying on the couch, you know, we're just like, whatever. And I'm talking to him because he's been farting, you know, and he does this. And I'm like, bro, one day I'm going to get you on camera. And I did. I caught him on camera.
He put me on social
media. I put him on Snapchat because I go, hey, Tim. And he goes, he farts and he's like, what?
Oh,
he's like, that way everybody knows what you do. And he's like, no, delete that right now.
No, I'm
like,
just playing. I don't care. Shit. It's a fart, man.
You got caught.
Rachel, do you fart?
Of course.
Do you fart in public?
In people's faces.
Do you fart in public? Or
I fart on a lot of people on purpose. I farted on Krista multiple times.
See?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
She still deals with me.
Are they deadly though? Like are they? Those?
No. So for the most part, like you can't see or hear them, but well, I still laugh.
I hope you don't see them. I hope you don't see them.
Oh.
You see the cloud coming up.
Exactly.
What is that? Is that a ghost? Is that a ghost?
Oh, so, God. So no. Do you lift your leg up? Do you like lift it up? Like do you lift it up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do the full motion.
I do that, and then I just laugh, and then that's how you know I fart because you can never smell or
it's fair game.
Honestly,
no.
Though,
it's
like,
you guys do it. Giggle. That's how you know.
Like, I know I'm being weird about it, but, you know, if I'm with somebody, and she farts and it reeks.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I can see it the same way.
But what if she just like farts in you and like laughs?
And it's an accident.
an accident.
No, for me, if it's you know what I mean? If it's fucking rancid and shit, you know.
I mean like smells like garbage. Oh, like not even like a fart. What about shit? Like
I don't
straight,
want it.
Like,
it smells that bad, you start taking her to better restaurants, yeah. is what I'm
better
saying.
I feel like somebody eats a lot
Stop
of fruit.
Stop at Carambas every now and then.
Teach that chick how to cook. Let me. Have you ever Dutch ovened somebody?
No.
Hell, exactly.
You've never Dutch ovened somebody?
No, I don't think so.
That is, dude, the reaction is fantastic, especially like when it's an SBD and you like, I sit there like a little kid giggling, right? Like I got one broom. Silent but deadly.
Oh,
so when you talk about like, oh, you lift your leg up and nothing comes out. Yeah, most of the time when that happens, yeah, those are the stinky ones. So
I wish mine were.
I do that. You wish yours was stinky,
stinky yeah, or silent?
No, both. I wish it was loud and stinky because it would be hilarious. But sadly, nobody knows besides me.
Now, whatever, they smell nasty.
They don't.
Do not fart here.
I do it all the time.
What? Oh,
nobody knows.
You're a liar.
No one knows.
You're disgusting.
Wow, we go from somebody that was like anti-fart to Miss Farter.
Miss.
What? When was I ever anti-fart? I'm just
not
saying.
You. Not you.
I wouldn't fart.
Our other co-host. We had a half-hour session of me and him mm-hmm. giggling about farting, mm-hmm. and she's like, nobody finds that funny. We're all laughing
laughs.
About this. The one time we don't have the cameras is we're all giggling about farting. Anyway.
But I also have like five other siblings, so you think we didn't tackle each other and fart on each other growing up. That's like top sibling warfare.
Yes. Well, if my sister ever did that to me, I think I would throw it through a window. But anyway,
seriously?
I don't think my brothers ever did that though.
No.
Well, I mean, maybe you guys have a different dynamic.
I didn't.
I guess my brothers and I have a little different.
Same.
Like every time I see you guys in a room, you guys are like, hi. Hi.
Yeah.
And that's it.
See, the great thing about my family, is we get together often enough that we enjoy each other's company and not too often that we start to hate each other. So it works out well, I think.
Exactly. They enjoy it in silence.
Oh, wow.
Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, New Year's, that kind of stuff.
My brother, me and him would hang out. Like, me and him would always be the closest, like, growing up. And he would always go to the bathroom. He would wash his hands, not dry them off. And he would just come out and slap me and be like, I peed on my hands. And he would do this constantly to the point where whenever I wash my hands, if they're even like the slightest bit wet, it weirds me the fuck out.
You're self-conscious about it.
I can't do it. Wow. It weird. Cause I'm like, oh my God, it's awesome. It's like how Miles used to say that he would pee on his hands when he would wash his hands and he would just like slap me.
Oh, so when I've shaken your hand and it's been wet, you didn't pee on your hand?
No, just sweaty. You know, awkward.
Oh, really? That's what that
is? Okay. This conversation has gone sideways.
Okay,
we're so sweaty.
Tim?
Anyway.
All right, Tim.
My weird news is over.
What do you got for us, Tim? So, I know there's a lot. And when you send me these articles, and I watched that video that you sent, oh, my God, it did piss me off. So what's going on?
So one of my buddies sent me, we were sitting there going back and forth talking about things, and he asked me if I'd seen this documentary. Well, I don't want to say documentary. It was a video. It's called Como, that put it on through like ABC or NBC out in Seattle. And they called it Seattle is Dying.
When did this video come out?
I believe sometime in 2019 because they talked about 2018 numbers and then stuff in 2019. So basically it was going around. They were going around Seattle for the last couple years documenting how messed up the city has gotten with all the bums on the street. And let's not say bums, with all the homeless issues going on, the drug problems, how there's tents all over, garbage and needles and feces, and it's destroying the city. Like Seattle used to be, I've never been there, but everybody that's been there, they said it was one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
What is it? Emerald?
Emerald City?
Yeah.
That's what they call it, right?
Yeah. They have a good Comic-Con.
You know, and I couldn't believe it. It was like overrun with what they were doing in like the middle of Seattle, some of the nicest places, everything. It was just, it was city.
Have any of you ever been there?
Mm-mm.
I've been to Redmond.
Yeah.
Where Microsoft is. We drove through Seattle, but we just drove through.
Yeah.
And that
did you see any of this?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
But I wasn't looking. We were trying to find our way around the city we'd never been in. So.
But the thing about this is the city knows there's a problem, right? and the people are trying to fight to get their city back because it's ruining businesses, because it's right downtown. It's killing tourism because, you know, they showed this couple from Nashville and they were like, they were confused. They were like, why is this happening? They were like, in my city, if you can't just post up on the street, you get arrested. They tell you to move. You know, you can't just pee all over the place because they decriminalized everything. You can pee in public.
What?
You could pee in public. No fine. You could crap in public. No fine. You can have up to 3 grams of heroin and it's not a crime.
But also Vancouver is right across the border and they completely decriminalized like drugs.
Right there. But everybody basically, there like, is coming from California.
Yeah, but I get I guarantee Seattle. Anything that they're not letting them freaking build tents and yeah. live out in the middle of downtown. Dude,
this is disgusting.
In Vancouver? So they yeah. have an actual district for it.
For this type
yeah.
of stuff?
Yeah, and they downtown? So, but the cool, well, kind of cool thing that they do, yeah, it's in downtown, and they have, like, areas where it's, like, methadone clinics, basically, but then above it are, like, if you decide, like, you want to get off of drugs, then you can come up here, and this is, like, a free rehab, basically, to, like, yeah. get you off of drugs and get you back into, like, normal society, but it's literally, like, the but those two cities are super
I think that the issue with Seattle, and I don't know about Vancouver, but I think the issue in Seattle is that you have people committing crimes.
Yes. They're stealing.
They're stealing and they're doing things.
Raping.
And like, I mean, in that video, you see this one guy who he was arrested 100 times or something like some ridiculous number for stealing. Right. And then the cops record him with, you know, their body.
Account,
And he's just like yelling at them. He knows he's not going to.
He's spitting on them. He's biting them.
He knows he's not going to get arrested. And the cops basically are like, they can't do nothing. They're not going to arrest them because they can do that. They can charge them and process them. All the court's going to do is just like, oh, okay, well, release him.
They said like
he doesn't serve.
Over 43% of the cases were dismissed or dropped, you know, not even looked at. And the numbers kept going down. I think eight out of all of them, only 8 were prosecuted. Right?
Holy cow.
And so one of this is just, it's so messed up because the people are going to the city council, having meetings.
Right.
The cops are actually telling all the people, vote these people out.
Right.
So that
right.
we can do our jobs. Do our because the cops are fuming. Right, they can't
do
nothing.
And the people are fuming. There was that one scene where they're at the town hall, or whatever.
Yeah.
And this lady is just yelling at the council, and she's like, "Why are you laughing?" So the guy on the council was smiling.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You find this funny? We have to live like this, and you find this funny?" She went off on him, and they don't care.
No.
Apparently, they don't care.
And the thing is that the small businesses around that area, they're the ones who suffer because nobody wants to be around that. Nobody wants to smell. These people are out peeing in public. Like
it's disgusting.
They film like tourists. You know, from other parts of the country who are visiting Seattle, and they're like, I don't understand why the city just lets these people, you know, anywhere that you go, any parking lot that you go, it reeks of urine.
Yeah, they said everywhere they go, it smells like urine or
that's terrible. It's sad, you know, and we're going to get a chance to visit it and see how much of that is true. Hopefully they figure it out by then. But I mean, unless those city councils get voted out, you know, these are people who have a utopian view of society and they believe that people just need a chance. It's the same mentality that human beings are innately good and just giving enough time or opportunity that they will fix themselves. But these people, it's not a homelessness problem.
It's a drug problem. But they won't admit that.
And they
will
not admit that.
Right. And that's what pisses me off because here's the deal. Why is this not in the national media? This is a crisis, and it's not just happening here. It's not happening in Seattle only. It's happening in San Francisco. It's a big problem there. LA, there's issues in the outer skirts of Chicago where everybody's afraid to admit. It's happening in San Antonio.
What do these cities all have in common? They're run by what?
Democratic leadership.
They are, man.
No, I think it's past. It's past the demo. It's on this other level now. I mean it's
I guarantee you they didn't vote for Trump.
No, they didn't vote. These are the same people that hate him. But what in a way, what's kind of nice by seeing this is I think people are starting to get fed up and they're seeing the effects of bad leadership. And hey, if we keep always been blue, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to try something different because this isn't working. Destroying.
One thing that that little documentary showed was how Rhode Island is doing it completely different. So Rhode Island apparently has this program. I don't know
if the MAT.
Yes, exactly.
The MAT program.
So what they do, they don't let these people, you know, just live in tents. They get them in and they bring them in and they basically monitor and make sure that they are taking the necessary medications in order to be able to get off of the of those addictive.
But it starts at the, but it starts at the correct. So in the corrections, when they get arrested for all this, they don't let people just walk around with 3 grams and all this
and let them get out. You know what I mean? Like they will say, hey, you know what? Unfortunately, you know, you're in a situation where you need help.
Yeah.
You know, I think it, like in the video, it says that is compassion. Realizing that these people, they can't do it by themselves.
Right.
So they're going to need intervention. They're going to need somebody to come in and say, guess what? You're going to have to take this medication. Right. And the, how they portray it is that you're going to have to take this medication just as a diabetic person needs to take their medication in order to be able to, you know what I mean? Like,
And, but one of the medications is methadone. That's one of the options. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, that.
Robaxone is another.
So, but now you're getting them off one drug. And almost getting them on another drug. You
it's
know
not
what I mean?
The same. It's easier to get them off. There's no...
I hear you, but you're not... You're still, you know, instead of giving them a needle, you're giving them something so that they can at least be something of in society and not cracked out of their minds. But you're still giving... They're still relying on something. So if they ever forgot to take that medicine, they're going to go through a very similar... You know,
but there's no other way for them to get off.
I know. That, but that's what's scary is that there's they got to...
I mean, look at cigarettes.
Huh?
Cigarettes.
No, I hear you. I'm not denying
people go
that.
On like Wellbutrin and different like medications to
but they
stop.
Get but they get smoke off it eventually.
Yeah, cigarette not doesn't always. Doesn't leave you in the street yelling at some invisible person.
If I don't have one after you know a while, I will.
I'll come around
well, but also there's like lasting effects of it. So like in San Francisco, since I grew up there, a lot of what happened was it was older people who had like in the 60s. Had blown their fucking minds out on drugs and now they're no longer functional. The real issue is they need to start having mental hospitals again or having more of them or being more accepting of it instead of like putting women in because they have like psychosis or hysteria. They need to have actual hospitals for these mental patients when if their brain does get fried from drugs, you can't just leave them out on the street to fend for themselves. Like they need medical help, like even outside of just like monitoring drugs.
For me, so we as a society have basically said there is a certain amount of people who are going to be addicted to drugs. And so we start attacking the problem from, you know, if we look at a spectrum, when did this start and you know, where it ends. And we're attacking the problem towards the end of it when we have to ask, what is happening? What there is a crisis.
What led up to this?
What led here and what's happening here? And we're not addressing that. We're accepting, hey, there's going to be a set amount of people who are going to be addicted to drugs and we have to deal with it as a society. But the numbers are you know, through the roof. So something is going on. And I think we need to say what is happening. And maybe it has this, it's, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But maybe it's this idea of, hey, you know what? You know, let's people have, you know, do any drugs that they want. Okay, maybe if we take that approach, we could have a worse situation. I don't know. But I don't think we're addressing that problem.
But I think a lot of people take drugs to escape things. And right. I think a lot of people need to tackle those things instead of trying to just run from it. They
what,
need to learn
what
how
leads
to...
people to lose hope and find that fix through substance?
No, their family and core system aren't accepting of it.
Why do we
and
drink?
Cost. Because of healthcare isn't cheap. Like, I mean, you drink to like feel a little bit better. Some people drink to excess. And it's because they're trying to run from something that they. Right.
But
have.
Still, alcoholism is still the
and
number
it can
one.
Kill you.
Right, and but alcoholism is still probably the number one addiction in you know in the world. You know what I mean? Right. Yes, the opiate problem. Alcohol can do it over time. You know,
no,
what
alcohol.
I mean?
If you are a true alcoholic, if you try to cut it cold turkey, it will kill you.
Yeah.
That along with well, benzos.
In,
the,
in that
the
documentary,
that
that's what they said
you.
With these people is some of them, you know, they get off that drug and then they think that they can go back to the same dosage that they were before.
No, and then they
and
kill
they
themselves,
kill themselves yeah. because their body, obviously the body, you know, heals itself and then they go back and say, well, I'm going to do the same amount that I was doing. And they end up killing themselves because their body.
You hear stories about people that are doing, you know, 100 Vicodin a day kind of things.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They start out with, you know, one or two a day and the body gets
Who's prescribing? How do they get it?
They steal it. Whatever. Yeah. Wow.
And there's doctors.
Coming from a doctor's office that just got fucking broken into and had fentanyl and propofol and all these other drugs stolen from them.
Well, that and there was a whole I know in New York there was a bunch of doctors that actually got caught up in a ring.
Yeah, because people pay for it.
They would just prescribe. They had
that too, but the DEA has cracked down on it hard, especially in Arizona alone. They've put in so many laws and restrictions for providers to write. So, like, even if you have a surgery, we can only write schedule narcotics for 3 days after your surgery. So after 3 days, you have to come back in. Every 3 days, you have to come back in. Like,
I think that's beautiful. I think that's right.
But, like, what if you have, like, a super major surgery? Like, let's say, like, you have a complete hip replacement. Like, in the beginning, you're not going to be super mobile. So then in 3 days, you have to figure out a way. You're already in significant pain to try to make it back to the doctors just to get a fucking...
I saw this news report of this lady who has her tolerance to pain.
Yeah.
Did you see this one?
Fucking interesting. There's a mutated gene that causes people to not feel pain.
Yeah.
The one weird aspect that I still have not looked into is supposedly she doesn't scar.
I don't know about that. I didn't read that in the article.
So... One of them was like, well, because it's actually a really common thing where people don't feel pain, but then it's not good because then, like, people can break their arm and then they're like, well, I don't know. It's just not working all of a sudden.
So she's in her late 60s or 70s and she fell, you know, and broke her knee or something.
Had to have a full hip replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then, the doctor tells her, hey, you know what? This is going to be very painful and, you know, it's going to take... And she's like, I don't think so, right? So she's gone throughout her life not knowing that the threshold that she has is really high.
She has a threshold. It's just super high.
It's super high. Exactly. And so
her whole family is like
so that. So these doctors, they're trying to determine what part of the whatever gene or DNA, whatever.
But it's not that it's super high. It's that she doesn't feel pain at all. Like, she literally has burned herself. And the only thing that, like, alerted her was that she could smell her flesh burn.
Burning. But, like, you know what? So here's like my question, which is very interesting, is that to me tells me that we all have different levels of pain that you know, when somebody. So, for example, the man cold, I think it is true that men experience it very differently than women.
I don't know if it's necessarily that. Like, I'm gonna go with patients that come in and I have some patients that walk in, no visible signs of pain. Like, their blood pressure is normal. Their pulse rate is normal. They can walk standing up straight. And when I ask them their pain scale, they're like, oh, I'm a 10 out of 10. And then I have other people where it's literally they cannot stand up straight because their back is in such a spasm that they physically cannot pull themselves up. And when I ask them, they're like, oh, it's like a 5.
Well, how much is that just being a drama queen?
Exactly. So you never really know. So it's like, is seriously, really
there are people
dramatic.
Out there that just want the attention and they don't care how they get it.
Or they feel that if I say, hey, it's a 10, that they're going to get immediate help.
Exactly.
Or immediate prescription for Vicodin.
But leaving that, exactly. Leaving that aside, though, there are circumstances where somebody has a higher level. Sure.
But also pain is really vital. Like, it's going to sound horrible, but it's always you don't experience pain for no reason. Like, there's always a cause behind it. And nobody, for the longest time, people stopped looking into that. And they were like, well, let's just treat the symptoms instead of treating the cause. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh, your back hurts. Well, here's some pain medication or here's whatever. Instead, now people are more apt to, because it was a quick fix. It would bring patients back. It kept them on like a 30-day schedule where the doctor was getting paid. It was liability-wise, it's not as bad at the time. But now it's more of people are actively trying to find, like, well, if you are in pain, what's the real reason behind it? And sending them for MRIs. And if they need treatment, then sending them for treatment. Whereas before, I think doctors would just kind of blow it off because they could just be like, well, here's some pain medication. You're all right. On to the next patient so we can make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, don't get me wrong. This is where it starts. Honestly, it's not always about a needle. When you get addicted to pills, it's an opiate.
It's a surgery.
It's an opiate, right? So when you get addicted to that, you start moving on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, right? I mean, I've gotten so many phone calls from people from back home saying so-and-so's died, heroin overdose. So-and-so died, heroin overdose. It's crazy, man. Like, it's just crazy, like, this epidemic. But anyway, enough of that. You know, these cities are dying, and we got to figure out what to do because, you know what, at the end of the day, we got to preserve this history of these cities and make it, you know, people want to go there. I don't want to step over human shit.
So I do have to say,
if this is what we're dealing with, I'm sorry.
In Phoenix, I have a patient that's a social worker, and in Phoenix, what we do is when we have a homeless situation, if they can pass a drug test, we will put them through a whole program to get them employed and get them a house, like all these other, especially if they have like a family and like literally all I have to do is like, if God forbid, like I'm out everything and I'm not taking drugs, I can go and they can help rehabilitate me and give me a shelter to live in so that I can get a job.
There's nothing wrong.
The only
with
thing
that.
Is you have to pass a drug test.
Right.
So
if you're not doing drugs, I mean, I can't get a job. If I go apply for a new job and I got drugs in my system, I'm not getting that job.
Exactly.
Whether I'm homeless or not. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a logical thing. And I personally agree that if you are getting a check from the government, mm-hmm. I've always felt this way. If you are getting a check from the government,
You should not be doing drugs.
Yeah. Because if you're using that money that's supposed to help you get ahead to go do drugs, then you are, you know, and you're testing dirty, you don't get that money. Mm-hmm. You don't get that money. I'm sorry. Because obviously you don't need that money to survive. You need the money for drugs.
Sorry.
You know, it's just crazy in my mind that we allow and accept all, like, we accept drugs. I'm all about smoking weed and everything, but I'm getting to the point where I understand why they don't want to make drugs legal.
Well, backing up a little bit, where do you draw the line on that, right? If you're receiving funds from the government, can you buy tobacco? Can you buy alcohol?
Survival. Survival.
Well, can you buy candy?
Necessities, right?
Can you buy cookies? Can you buy a bag of cookies?
No.
Because
I think we should lock
it. It's all sugar. It's what?
Just kidding.
No. It's all sugar and garbage. It's not needed to live. So where do you draw that line?
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want my money going to some junkie to get high in the street corner.
I mean,
but
let's start with the drugs.
I think somewhere we can all agree is drugs.
Is drugs and alcohol.
Sure. And that's fine. And if we agree with that,
I mean, maybe I'm thinking
fine
Rachel
with that.
Agrees. I don't know if she agrees.
No, but like, does it, I mean, unrelated, but does it change your view on, like, when there are panhandlers? Like, if there is somebody like on the street, like asking for money, does it, like, knowing that like Phoenix has like all of these great like ways to make you contributing member to society, and then you see somebody.
So I don't give them money.
So, yeah. But then,
because they're all drug, most of them are drugged out, or they're lying. They're doing it as a job.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big scam out here.
I remember years ago, and you can tell this was years ago when I'm finished with the story. The news, one of the local news stations, followed this guy. They watched him on the corner, you know, by the freeway or whatever, for 6-7 hours, and they followed him when he left. He walked up the street a little bit, got in his car, drove to the Blockbuster Video, you know how old it was, wow. Picked up a couple of movies. So you know he has a place to go. He has a VCR.
Did you see Captain Marvel there?
<This new guy. laughs> Oh my God, that was her. No, but you know, so that's the whole thing. Is like some of these people, they're doing it for the money, right? Yeah. And they're making very good money doing it. They figured he was making, you know, probably $3,000 or $4,000 a week.
Oh my God,
tax free,
not reporting.
People just, wow. You know, here's $5, here's $3, here's $10, here's $20.
That's
right?
One thing I don't get. Like I see sometimes couples, like, you know, yeah. Husband, oh, yeah.
It's all you're plucking there. The heartstrings, man.
Like, come on, man.
That are younger people. It's gonna sound horrible, but I'm like, yo, like no. I worked 3 jobs to figure my shit out. Like you could figure it out.
So yeah. I mean, like one of the things that I've heard from other people, I've obviously never been there, but I've heard from people that have lived there or visited in India, they do the same shit. And what they do is they rent out babies to people. Right.
What?
There's times that they rent out babies. They'll give them to a female. She'll go stand on the side of the road with a baby.
Oh, man.
And beg
like
for
the
money.
With the
but the thing is, people wind up giving her money because they see her standing there with a baby. And
no, some people.
They know now.
Do you remember the movie Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah.
Remember? So I don't know how accurate this is, but from what I've heard, because I've asked, you know, this happens. There's people who actually do things to children.
Yeah.
You know, make them blind so that people will have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's terrible, man.
There was a movie where the mother was poisoning one of the daughters.
Is it the... What? Wait, no.
Was it Sixth Sense?
Yes, yeah. It was.
And the mother was basically poisoning the daughter.
The one with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah. I think it was a success.
Munchausen's by proxy is what it is.
What?
So it's a condition, actually.
Okay, it's a mental condition. Right? Oh, okay. So basically what happened is at the funeral, they're having a funeral for the little girl and the little kid that sees the blind people. Spoiler alert.
For a 30-year-old movie.
20 years
yeah,
late.
For a 30-year-old right. movie. But anyways, so for whatever reason, they're at this funeral and the little girl is telling the kid that sees dead people that, oh yeah, the mommy was poisoning her the whole time. And they were talking, you know, the adults were talking about how, oh, now the other daughter's getting sick now.
Oh, yeah.
And she was started since she wasn't getting the pity.
Oh, that's the one where she sees the little girl yep. throwing up. I think that was the scene, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. yeah. Munchausen.
Munchausen by proxy. Because they want the attention okay. of having a sick child.
Right. Yeah, and so they're getting high off of the mm-hmm. attention that they get.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just like, as addictive as anything else, I'm sure.
Did you hear about the Gypsy Rose? Do you know who that is? Dee Dee Blanchard and Gypsy Rose Blanchard?
No.
Who are they? It was this mother that had a daughter, and she would lie about conditions that she had. And because, like, medical systems don't have a giant cloud that basically, like, oh, you're diagnosed with this, you're diagnosed with that, she would lie to different doctors and say that she had cancer. And so the doctors would treat her. And then they would be like, I don't think that this is the case. And then the second that the doctors would catch on to it, then she would switch doctors and go to a different one. And this poor girl was actually 23 years old and she was lying about her age, saying that her daughter was actually only like 15 years old.
Whoa.
Shaved her head, gave her like anti-seizure medications that made all of her teeth fall out.
Jesus.
Like,
why was she doing
put her
this?
On. People because crazy. The, crazy. She would move. She would just move and be like, look, like these are the records from the last doctor that I had. Like,
so,
she
wants so
the
sympathy? Attention. Sympathy?
Exactly. But okay. then she got a house from wow. Humanities. What is it? Habitat for Humanities. Yeah, yeah. All this other stuff. She got money and funding. Like, she didn't have to work. And so then finally, the daughter started dating this guy online. But of course, like, the mother would like try to monitor everything. Started dating this guy online and they planned to kill the mother and they ended up murdering the mother.
Wow.
So then they go on the run and she's like 21, 22, I think, but she thinks that she's 17 because she doesn't know any better.
Oh, she's fine.
So then the police finally catch her and then it's like you're stuck with this poor girl has been tortured for her entire life, like given chemo medication when she didn't need it, like
terrible.
Like horrible like medications and it's like, but
does she have mental problems too, like right now? Because
the girl
of all
doesn't.
That stuff?
No? She's actually doing really well in prison. As weird as that sounds, she's like, this is so much better
it's probably the structure.
Do you think that's a self-defense type of thing?
Maybe.
How old was she when she murdered?
I think she was like 20, 21.
Oh, she was already.
But her boyfriend murdered him. But they like planned together to like murder her.
What's crazy is that she was the one being tortured by this sick son of a bitch. All this crap. And yes, what she did was the wrong act. But at some point, man, to me, that's almost got to be like the, the insanity plea or something.
And
to be like,
even, what part of that life? Do you have to put on the doctors for giving her? Damn
so but the one interesting thing is multiple doctors, like after meeting with, but I mean even before like giving her like medications, like she would go and meet with different doctors and doctors would be like, there's nothing wrong with this girl, I'm not gonna treat her, and like literally in the
and
documentation
that's what all of them should have done.
Yeah, they would put like, I believe that this is Munchausen's by proxy because I think that she's just trying to get like attention from this girl. But then after you document it, if nobody because of HIPAA, you can't like be like, hey, here's
it's not
a
like
red
your permanent
flag.
Record at school that they keep threatening you with.
Exactly.
That I've never seen.
There's no pink slips. There's no like anything. So it's literally like, well, I'm going to document it. And if they request records, I'm going to send this. But not every doctor is that thorough.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy, man. Crazy.
Lots of fun to go around.
This sick world we live in. Yeah. So
anyway, so I know we got one more we're going to cover. And I think this is the one that's like the big one for this week.
Well, obviously, you know, the collusion. I'm not going to use the word exonerated because it still hasn't, that was never said. So that'd be saying fake news, but we're going to skip that one for
why?
Now. Why? Because I know Jeremy wants to talk about Jesse Smollett.
No, we
Chicago. Oh, you don't? No. Oh, okay, cool.
Talk about
so Oh, happy day. So, Nelson, I mean, I know this is something near and dear to your heart.
The guy, how long have we been hearing this news?
3 years?
That Russian there was collusion. Russian collusion.
3 years.
That this, I mean,
waste of time and money.
Wall to wall. Exactly. And, you know, it comes out that, dude, if there was anything, you don't think that Mueller would have indicted people? He would have brought them to court. Anybody. He didn't have anything else. So in my opinion, there's nothing right now.
So what is everybody? Why is everybody still crying? They didn't get what they wanted.
Right. Exactly. Because because they have an agenda, right? And the agenda is to reverse the 2016 election.
Yeah.
They're not happy with this guy being there.
Here we are. But 2019. Yeah. They're like,
But here's what's going to happen. Right, because right now, you know, he's going to take his gloves off.
Oh yeah,
and he's going to pursue these people. He's going to allow. He better appoint a special counsel to investigate how in the world this report, which was used for this whole thing, right? Which was what was that? What was the report called? That they showed to the FISA court.
Oh shit, I can't remember.
Anyways, I'm forgetting the name of it. Spacey now. Anyway, but this report that was used was basically made up, homie.
Yeah.
And what drove what was the straw that was broke the camel's back on this issue was John McCain, dude. And this was why Trump doesn't like the guy. Even after he's dead, he's still like criticizing him. Is because John McCain was part of the crew that took this to the FISA court and said, hey, here is some evidence of collusion. Meanwhile, it was all made up. And so they're going to investigate this.
Where did he get it from?
Exactly. Because it was paid for by the Clinton campaign.
Yep.
And this information was not disclosed to the FISA court. You don't think that if the FBI comes to you and says, hey, we need to investigate, we need to wiretap, and we need to look into the Trump campaign because we have evidence that there's Russian collusion. All right. Well, what's the evidence that you have? And if they would have disclosed, well, the Democratic Party paid for this evidence, any court would have said, no, this is not. But they didn't disclose that. And that's what that
so
is
you
what
think
he,
Trump is going to go after.
Oh,
them?
He better.
Oh, if he gets reelected, he's going to go after everybody.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, I wouldn't do it right now. You have a Democratic. There's a Democratic Congress, and I think that's going to change in 2020. This coming out and you wasted 3 years of my life. Plus, a lot of people are seeing what's happening now, and the silent majority is the middle class. Right. The people that you see crying, going on and on and on and on about things is people that are super left. Right. Because the people that are super right, they're kind of keeping their mouth shut right now. You know what I mean? They're not really fighting back. Right. You see a lot of Hollywood, a lot of things. But what has this guy done so bad? You know what I mean? The economy's great. There's jobs, you know, but even then, what doesn't get a lot of acknowledgement is a lot of minorities are leaving the Democratic Party. That's why they have Legxit and Blexit. I brought it up a few times, but nobody talks about that. And when you read the things that they're saying and everybody that's like, yeah, this is true, I think you're going to see a big change, man, because I think people are finally tired of everything that's going on because you finally have somebody that's saying it. When you have a guy that says, give me a shot. What you've been electing the same people for the last 50 years. Where's that got you? Man. Try me and my party. We'll get you someplace. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll change things up and now you can move up. You know what I mean? Instead of keeping you down. And I think people are seeing that and going, wow, because everybody's got a cell phone and everybody follows this guy. This guy's got 100 million followers.
Well,
I think things are going to change, man, because people are just tired of this bullshit.
Well, look, I think people... And it's evidence in the amount of viewership. Like I think Rachel Maddow and a lot of these CNN, MSNBC, their ratings have gone drastically down because they banked on certain that Trump was going to be either indicted, hauled into court, something, somebody in his family. There was nothing.
Yeah,
and so I'm telling you, they were bringing in experts. talking 24/7 about, oh yeah, definitely, there's something coming. There's nothing.
Oh, that's all I've been hearing. That's all I kept hearing from everybody. This report's going to come out, and they're going to get them, and all this. And I'm like, the report came out, and now quiet crickets.
When I watch YouTube videos, every once in a while, the ads will pop up, and there's one that pops up and says, "Help us impeach Trump. He's done at least 9 impeachable offenses."
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like,
meanwhile, they can't.
Put one of them together. Then what's the problem here?
Exactly.
So this is my point. Right. Whether you like the guy, don't like the guy, you're blue, you're red, whatever. My thing is, you got to have some respect as people towards each other and your opinions. If you have, you need to be able to have a normal conversation, normal debate, right? Whether you agree or not, when you start getting nasty at people, that's where the problem is. And you know what? I got to see this firsthand. Last weekend, we were out, at the bar, right? We're at the bar, we go outside, they'll go have a smoke, right? And this girl's talking.
I'm wearing my...
He's wearing his Bush Reagan 84
Bush
hat.
Reagan 84 hat, you know?
Yeah.
And there's this girl, and she just
She's running out the mouth about Trump. And I was joking around. I was like, hey, take it easy. I said, you know, we got a Trump supporter over here, you know? Because, you know, and I was joking around. Dude, because she was Hispanic. She actually looked more white than anything, but anyway.
No, she spoke Spanish.
Yeah, she spoke...
Like she was from Peru or something. Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, she's blah, 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 right. And she's like, the one thing I cannot stand is another Hispanic that supports that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whoa. And she goes right up to him and she's talking to him, basically yelling at him in Spanish why he's wrong. But he's sitting there.
Meanwhile, the whole time I stayed seated while
she's
like
in
my
face, homie.
Like saying that
she wanted to swing on him.
You're like, you're a hypocrite for how come you feel that you can come to this country but nobody else can come to this country? You know, because she thought she was like, oh, just because you were born here, that means that you're not going to allow. And I'm like, first of all, I wasn't born here. I became naturalized citizen. And she's like, oh, even worse. Why? Well, how do you support this guy who, you know, if Trump had his way, you'd be out of this country. And I'm like, you're an idiot. No, I did. I said, that's not true.
Yeah.
I said, because he has never said anything about Hispanics. And in fact, but meanwhile, she's talking to me full on Spanish. Like I think at first she thought that I didn't speak Spanish. And so I'm literally talking back to her in Spanish and telling her all these things. And I'm like, look, here's the deal. You know, you want to come to this country. I'm all for it. Do it legally.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a problem. These people are coming here. They are not assimilating to the society, to me. And this is another thing I tell her. You know, this is what I share. You know, she's like, because she tells me, they're the same color as you, bro. I hate when people tell me
that.
Like, that makes sense. I'm like, that's it. I said, that's where it ends. You know, because that's the only thing that I share with them is color. I don't share their values. You know, I don't. You know what I mean? Like, because they're coming over here and they're voting for the same socialistic ideas that they left. And they wonder, because in their minds, they believe that the reason America is great is because we took advantage of Latin American countries. Meanwhile, you know what I mean? Like
meanwhile, we're dumping billions of dollars a year into these countries.
Trying
to help
them. Exactly. And so, you know, it's a lie. And I told Tim, bro, I was like, man, I'm done being silent.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna take it. I'm gonna tell her, and I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna stand my ground. Because
and he wasn't nasty.
I'm done.
He didn't call her a bitch. He sat down and he was trying to have a conversation.
I did at one point say build the wall. I was like, because she was like, she got like to a point where she was just not listening to me.
Yeah, right.
And I started saying build the wall.
Oh dear.
Oh my god.
No. But here's the deal.
Check this out.
Her friends are trying to calm everything down.
So
meanwhile, she leaves.
Right. So And the guys, one of the guys that she was with, because he was like, homie, he's like, my whole family is Hispanic. They were voting for this guy. People I know that are Hispanic are going to vote for this guy in 2020. Mm-hmm. They are leaving the party, right? And she's like, fuck that. No, you're all lying. You're whatever, right? And then when she goes, and then we said, all right, you know what? Let's just all stop. Let's have a drink. You know, all be friendly.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. But she had to make it a point when she was walking in to give that little arrogant, yeah, we got a drink. We good. Fuck Trump. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're an idiot. Right. Because you're trying to still make your point. Right. But then this is the interesting part. Her boyfriend or husband or whatever the fuck
whoever
he was.
Whoever the dude she was with.
Turns around to him and he goes, yeah, you're right.
I agree with you.
He goes, well, he didn't agree.
But he was telling me, you're right.
He goes, I agree with what you're saying because a lot of my Hispanic friends that I know are all saying the same thing. Homie, he wasn't saying, you know, what is he doing this? He's telling you the facts from what he knows, not about his policies and what he's done and everything. Look, this is what I'm seeing and this is why I support him. I mean, but she couldn't respect it. She had to keep going. You're a disrespect to your kind.
Really?
You know, so for me, this is why I spoke.
Only rich white people. And she looked at me, yeah, she goes, exactly. You support him. And I was trying to keep my mouth. And Nelson's like, no, he supports him. Because I already know that's a trigger, right? I already know, they don't know my story either, right? And she goes, oh, that typical. Oh, yeah. Only white, rich white people, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of poor white people that voted for him too. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of poor white people that voted for Hillary. You know what I mean?
This is one of the things that I noticed because I was looking around as she's going off on this.
Nobody said shit. Nobody was arguing.
Exactly. Everybody stays quiet. Right.
You can't talk to a person when they're in that state.
So this is what I observed, right? And there's a few white people there, and especially that one guy who was like right next to us, and he kept looking at me and he was like, yeah, man, I agree. Right. Well, the reason I did what I did, because I did go above and beyond what I normally do. Right. Which is try to engage her. And when it got to the point where she wasn't listening to it, maybe I did go a little overboard. Maybe the liquor had something to do with that.
But here's the deal. She was in your face. The reason I did it
was because I knew that there were some people there who agree with me. But the second that they voiced their opinion, she would have had reason to say, oh, because you're racist, right? Because that's what they cling on to. Oh, you're white, you're racist. And so when I say that, brown,
they have
you know what I mean? Like, what is she going to say? You know? And she's like, well, you're a traitor to your own race. Yep. Oh, really? So I can't have my own views.
Yep.
This is what it comes down to. And so that's why I did what I did.
No,
and maybe I should have been a little bit more not so heavy-handed, but I think it had to be done.
She was calling you the traitor and disrespectful, and I hate people like that. You didn't turn around and say, you know what I hate? People that support socialism, you know. You didn't attack her views. Mm-mm. You were defending yourself and explaining why, and she's coming. I almost recorded the whole thing.
Right.
Just so that, like, it's happening right here. Like, and this is what you deal with. And wait a minute. So you're supposed to be the compassionate and calm and we love everybody and Republicans are racist and this, that, and the third. If you were a white dude, she would have fucking spit in your face. She wanted to do it that night. When she got in, she was waiting for you to get up because she wanted to get everything going. And by you just sitting there and be like, look, I'm not arguing this. But this is a bigger problem. You know what I mean? Right. People are just unhinged at the seams.
Well, and so again, going back to the, you know, right now it doesn't happen, right? There's no white people attacking, you know what I mean? Like Hispanics, it's not happening, right? And that's why you see Jussie Smollett, you know, trying to, you know, make a fake crime. By the way, you know, now they're not charging him.
And he's going to sue them, by the way.
Wait, well, what?
You're talking about he's going to sue.
Here's the deal. So did you see Trump's tweet at 6 in the morning?
No.
At 6 in the morning.
His time. Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, at 6 in the morning, his time. He tweets. This is the funniest thing. He's like, yep, the FBI and the Department of Justice are going to investigate into this. Because, come on.
Oh, no.
There is so much corruption there. I mean, the guy in Chicago, dude, you know
what they're saying about R. Kelly now? They're saying that somebody, the person, the tape and whoever's reporting it is known to doctor tapes and everything like that. So they're trying to get him off now.
Yeah.
Dude, this is no good.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, there's other avenues where they can, in the FBI and the Department of Justice, I hope they go after him. They need to make an example of him because you cannot fake this. Because if they let this guy go,
can you imagine how
many people are going to be like, oh, I mean.
You're going to see a lot of crazy stuff. Yeah, man, and it's,
faking
it's,
it up.
We're supposed to grow, not degrade.
Weird to me, like if you're indicted by a grand jury, like how can they just be like, well, not, like unless there's like some kind of evidence stating
they probably found something on the police chief or something like that or whatever.
Well, and
they
found something.
No, they found probably something, some dirt on someone, and they were like, or they paid some money, and they're like,
what's it, Fox? What's her name? Kim Fox, the state attorney.
I don't.
That,
I don't know.
That dropped the case.
Oh, that dropped the case. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Anyways, she apparently was texting and emailing with Tina Chen, who worked with the Obamas. And they're thinking that Michelle sent a thing asking them to drop it.
See, to me...
Because he's very close with the Obamas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's pictures of him all over the place with the Obamas.
Yeah, that's why there was a joke, and they were saying Obama's fake son or something like that, and they show him standing right next to him. Crack me up.
And and that's fine. If he's innocent or they don't have enough on him or the police screwed up the investigation, that's fine. Show us the files. Oh, no, we sealed the case.
Yeah.
Not only did we drop 16 felony charges... We're gonna seal the case so no one can look into it either. That's bullshit.
You're right. I am looking at that. There is a connection between the
Tina Chen,
Jussie Smollett, and the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So here's my thing though.
Why do you think Trump said the FBI is gonna look at it?
There's because some conspiracy here because I'm wondering if it wasn't just him. I'm wondering if this was a coordinated effort between multiple levels of government officials. Who were trying to? Now I guess I'm being conspiratorial.
No, I believe there's a major conspiracy.
I don't put it past anybody.
No, I even down to what we're talking about with all these cities with the drug problems. I honestly feel like this is a bigger issue that nobody's looking at. They look at it from this little micro level. I think honestly there's a conspiracy.
What, the corruption in Chicago?
No, just all over. Well, if you can destroy the major cities. And you start taking them over.
Yeah, they own. Chicago's been owned for.
But there you go.
Look at Oakland.
No,
Oakland
but the more and more you do. Hits. Dude, now it's to the point where people are shitting on the street. Okay? We have hit the
it's
point.
It's been like that in San Francisco for the last 30 fucking years. And now all of a sudden.
I've never seen shit.
I have my entire life. I grew up there.
I mean, every time.
Literally watch people shitting on the sidewalk while I was walking to an office with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean. Ooh.
Whatever.
Bleep, bleep, bleep,
bleep. And even like in BART, like freaking at least 15, I would say about like 15 years ago, somebody tried to like fucking shit and piss in there inside of a subway, like inside of the actual train itself.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yahtzee.
All right.
Outside of just people trying to rob you.
Well, on that note, everybody.
On that note, fellas.
Make sure you wipe your ass and lift the seat up.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Salty Show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back again next week to bring you...
We forgot to talk about the socialists. God damn it. We did
Alejandra
it again.
Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez, we forgot about you.
Every week.
We're going to come on you again next week.
We love you.
But you're pretty.
Are you back? All right.
Horse
Adios.
Face.
Oh.